It's The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick filling in for John Hockenberry. Republican candidates continue their crisscrossing of the country this week, and despite their differences, they're flying under one banner.
I've evolved on many issues over the years, and you know who else has is Ronald Reagan evolved on many issues.
That's Donald Trump back in the first GOP debate, comparing his evolution on issues like abortion and his past support of Democrats to Ronald Reagan. Trump has revived Reagan's campaign slogan with his Make America Great Again trucker hats, and like Reagan, he's gained support among white blue-collar voters. But Reagan, just like Trump, was despised by the Republican establishment of his day. A Republican senator told the New York Times in 1975 during Reagan's challenge to President Gerald Ford, quote, "A Reagan nomination and the crushing defeat likely to follow could signal the beginning of the end of our party as an effective force in American life." Sound familiar? Listen to Republican Senator and former presidential candidate Lindsey Graham of South Carolina on CNN back in August.
Donald Trump is not going to be the nominee of the Republican Party. If he is, that's the end of the Republican Party.
Rick Perlstein is a national correspondent for The Washington Spectator and author of Invisible Bridge, The Fall of Nixon and the Rise of Reagan, and he joins me now. Welcome, Rick.
Very pleased to be here.
Well, I just played that clip from Lindsey Graham, who, as we reported yesterday, is no longer in the race. So maybe that tells us all we need to know. But Ronald Reagan heard similar accusations and similar sort of foreboding in the mid-70s to his own candidacy, didn't he?
Yes. And then before that, he heard the similar forebodings in the mid-1960s when he ran for governor. And then he did something very unprecedented. He announced that he was going to run against an incumbent president of his own party, Gerald Ford, for the 1976 nomination. And he came very, very close. It's kind of a forgotten story. Gerald Ford pulls it out, and the New Yorker says, well, that's it for Ronald Reagan's political career. And he really, you heard that, you know, almost through the presidential election in 1980. I learned from a speechwriter for Jimmy Carter that they were absolutely convinced that all it would take to finish Ronald Reagan once and for all was to get him on that debate stage with Jimmy Carter. Ronald Reagan was widely seen to have won the debate, and that was a week before the election, and he ended up with a landslide and, of course, served two terms. And now he's, you know, we talk about the age of Reagan.
And so now it seems, at least in certain parts, Donald Trump is kind of repeating some of the Reagan playbook, certainly an appeal to blue-collar, white, middle-class voters. Has he been reading up on Reagan's political strategy here? Do you think it's a carbon copy in that way?
He's certainly very specifically referred to a phrase of Richard Nixon's, which is that he's the candidate of the silent majority. In other words, that kind of gut-level, middle-American sense that, you know, we are the backbone of the country and you might not hear about us because, you know, the liberals are controlling the media, but wait until we get our voice and we're going to be roaring. And of course, Ronald Reagan picked up on that same theme, and his appeal to blue collar white voters had a lot to do with the sense that their world was being usurped by minorities, by people on welfare, by protesters and all the rest. And of course, it proved extraordinarily successful.
Help us remember the state of the Republican Party in 1976 when Ronald Reagan first ran and lost and then set himself up to win in 1980. How did he accomplish a primary and what was his message then?
Well, it was far worse, according to the pundits, than it is now. There was a poll taken by Ford's pollster showing that only 18% of the country was identifying themselves as Republicans at the time. You know, it was after Watergate. And it's really fascinating how long this kind of discourse that the Republican Party was going to go the way of the Whigs, literally that there might not be a Republican Party for the presidential election in 1978. And interestingly enough, the reason given for why the Republican Party was so weak and so vulnerable was that the conservatives were taking it over. What the kind of pundits didn't understand was that the conservatives were motivating voters and issues that had not been part of the political process before. They were adding people to the political process through issues like abortion, opposition to gay rights, through gun control and things like that.
You know, Rick Perlstein, a lot of the dynamics that you describe during Ronald Reagan's rise, people have tied the Reagan strategy to the success that Donald Trump is having, but I'm hearing a lot more similarities with the argument Ted Cruz is making for the nomination. Ted Cruz is asked, "You're so conservative, how can you win? You can never win being so far right." His answer is, "Millions and millions of real conservatives stayed home because they're disaffected. I can win on a wave of conservative support. It doesn't have to be moderates. Yes. I don't need the broad middle."
And that's always kind of been an abiding fantasy of the conservative movement and the Republican Party. You know, they always say that. And sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. But I certainly don't see any objective evidence for what Ted Cruz is saying. But there's a certain kind of almost messianic faith that conservatives have, that they're so right that they can't possibly lose. And that can be a real advantage when it comes to the kind of energy that it takes to win an election. But it can be a real disadvantage when it comes to kind of sober assessments of the electoral situation, as we saw in Romney's case, in which, you know, basically you had the unskewing the polls movement, in which they argued that the polls were all wrong and maybe Romney would win. And of course, that didn't bear itself out in any event.
And so with all of the clamor to claim Ronald Reagan's mantle, his legacy, his name, his message, you see it all over the Republican field. And we understand why. He's a respected and celebrated figure of the right and of Republicanism. Is there a candidate running now who comes closest to the Reagan vision? And if the answer is yes, you know, this is 2015, right. Not 1980. Should they want to have the Reagan mantle, or do they need something new?
You know, we're beginning to see that actually break up in the Republican Party. Very interestingly, Bill O'Reilly wrote a book called Killing Reagan that has all the Reagan dieharders apoplectic with rage because he suggests that, you know, Reagan was incapacitated in his second term as president. So we're beginning to see that particular fever break. Both Cruz and Walker, who, of course, is no longer in the race, come very much out of that conservative movement and conservative infrastructure that was built around the Goldwater and Reagan campaign. The Trump campaign is not part of that infrastructure. So even though he, you know, has that kind of charisma that is kind of attracting voters like Reagan did, he certainly does not kind of claim obeisance to the alpha and the omega of the conservative movement's ideological agenda. So Reagan may not be as relevant to this election as the Republicans would hope.
Rick Perlstein is national correspondent for The Washington Spectator. Rick, thanks for talking to us.
My pleasure.
Rick Perlstein is also author of Invisible Bridge, The Fall of Richard Nixon, and The Rise of Reagan.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.